Here's tonight's host, Bob Lehman.
Good evening and welcome to the Maine Outdoor Show. This is your host, Bob Lehman, subbing for the regular host, V. Paul Reynolds, who is still in Florida. We seem to be getting an echo here, Jim. I don't know what the boys out in the control room are doing, but we're getting an echo.
We're all set now, Bobby.
Are you straightened out there now?
We are.
Okay. Anyway, Paul will be back, he told me. He just called me the other day. He said he'll be back on April 14th, and he may possibly do the show on Sunday the 15th. We'll have to see about that. He called me and said, just in case I couldn't make it, he said, would you do the show? And in the background, his wife, Di, says, yes, you will do the show, Paul. And Paul says, well, maybe I'll do the show. So we got a kick out of that, but anyway, hopefully he'll be back. In the meantime, I picked up a guest, and it's going to be very interesting. So stay tuned on the 15th and before that, of course. So back to the intros. We're here in Studio 7, Blueberry Broadcasting Network of stations, 103.9 FM Bangor, 101.3 FM Augusta, and 1450 AM Rockland. Good average, wouldn't you say, Jimmy?
I would say so.
Yes. Now let me introduce our expert technicians in the control room, namely Jimmy Layton.
Good evening, folks. We still have an echo here. I'm working on it.
Okay, good to have you aboard, Jimmy. And Norm Plord, the Scourge of Grand Lake Stream. We got a question for Norm coming up shortly. Are you there, Norm?
I am here.
Okay. I'm just barely hearing you guys.
How about now, buddy?
Oh, that's better.
Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah.
They're 10 feet back from the mic, and they want me to hear them out there.
All right.
Okay, now, where was I? Okay. Our guest tonight, by the way, we shouldn't overlook our guest. We're very proud to have Ryan Lilly.
Hey.
Ryan Lilly, Old Town Canoe. His title is now, he tells me, is the brand manager of the Old Town Canoe Company, which is a subsidiary of the Johnson Company. And good evening, Ryan.
So hey, how you doing? I think you know, brand manager, floor sweeper, I do whatever they ask me to do over there.
You do. And you take a canoe off and go fishing a little bit.
As much as I can, Bob.
You do. Well, we'll be back to you, Brian, a little later.
Okay.
Right now, we got all kinds of news we got to get out of the way here. And we'll be talking about canoes and kayaks. And especially kayaks.
You talked
about
a fishing report.
We'll get to that shortly, but first we have some announcements to make. We are happy to announce that Bob Elliott, a very good friend and oft-show participant, is recovering nicely in his home and doing daily walks, he tells me. We almost lost Bob, so
yes.
He came through with a lot of prayers, I'll tell you. But he's okay now. Thank heaven for that.
And they work.
That's right.
They always work.
They sure do, Jim. That's right.
Yep.
And he's been a guest on our show, and he'll be back, and he'll be attending the Woolly Buggers. And everybody knows what the Woolly Buggers are. They're fishermen at Grand Lake Stream.
Notorious.
In the middle of May. A bunch of us get down there and
Notorious
catch salmon
group.
And eat and play cribbage and have a great time. You play cribbage, Ryan?
Oh, sure do.
Oh, man.
Dangerous.
Oh,
look
heavens.
Out.
Okay, well, we'll be doing that and having a lot of fun, and that'll be great. And I will be attending the Eldridge Brothers Fly Shop, that's in Cape Natick, Maine, just above York, on Saturday, May 30th. That's next Saturday, where I'll be signing my books all day.
May or March?
It is a really big happening. A lot of vendors, big crowds, and all-day food free.
Is that May or March?
That's Maine.
May?
No, that's
March
next 30th, Saturday,
right? Yeah.
Next
March
Saturday.
30th.
Oh, okay.
Next Saturday. Oh. Is that the 30th?
It is.
I think
no.
It is.
No, that's a
31st.
Yep.
Okay, fishing opens on Sunday.
Yeah. Sunday, April 1st.
Yep. Wow.
That's also Easter and April Fool's
Day. It's Easter, too.
Yes.
Yeah, we were talking about Easter this morning at church. We got to, you got to make your Easter duty out there, pal.
That's right.
Okay, but I hope folks can get down to the Eldridge Brothers Fly Shop. And as I said, we'll be signing books all day down there on the 30th, Saturday.
31st.
And the food is free. Breakfast and dinner and everything is free. Hot dogs, hamburgers, all the donuts you can eat, and eggs and coffee and soda. And, oh, man. I know I've been down there the last couple of years, and it's been a lot of fun. And they're great, great guys down there, Mike and Tom. And that's just fantastic. That is a big shop. If you've never been to a fly shop, folks, this is one you want to go to because, man, it's one of the biggest in the country.
Sounds like a restaurant, too.
Well, no, they're outdoors. They make a place outdoors. They put a roof on it, and they get a lot of professional fly fishermen
they're very well known
rod builders and all kinds of stuff. They'd be casting rods out in the yard there, and everybody's able to try out new fly rods and all that stuff. You know, it's great, fantastic day. If you're a fly fisherman, man, you better be there. So. The number to call tonight, folks, if you want to take part in our show, is 1-800-966-1039. And remember, you have to dial the whole number, even if you're local. And I also wanted to say hello to Bob Bruns, a chiropractor on Union Street in Bangor. He said he'll be listening tonight. And he's the son of Polly Bruns Ballinger, who will also be listening, I understand. And we just lost Jerry Ballinger recently, a great friend of mine for many years, and it was a big loss. Okay, now let's get to the Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. Ice fishing ends and huts. Ice fishing huts must be off the ice by, I guess this would be the 30th, the 31st at the very latest. And that's tough getting them off right now because there's so much snow on the ice, mm-hmm. you know, dragging them off and getting a vehicle out there to haul them off and all that stuff. Some of the lucky guys, as my son was telling me, at Branch Lake got them out early this year. But right now, it's tough. It's tough.
It's getting slushy.
And a lot of these places, it's getting slushy, too. Water, but there's ice, water, and then piled up snow, a lot of deep snow.
Yep.
And slushy snow, as Brian said. It's dangerous. It's dangerous just beyond the ice. Try to haul a fishing shack off, and it would be almost impossible. And there's a big hole I wanted to mention, too, out in the middle of Branch Lake, and there's a lot of places. You mentioned, Jim, that Fields Pond is starting to break up a little bit.
Well, all around the edges on Fields Pond, it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Even the deer having second looks about getting off the pond.
Yeah.
But there were people out there ice fishing today.
What do you
know? Not far from the landing, but they were out
there. Did you see them catching anything?
I didn't.
No.
I didn't. I was hoping they did.
They get some of those crappies out there, don't they?
Yeah, they get crappies.
Nice
they
crappies.
Get trout, bass.
They get everything.
A lot of nice bass out there now.
Pickerel.
And the occasional salmon.
Perch.
The occasional salmon.
Occasional salmon. They probably come down from Green Lake.
Brewer Lake. Yeah, Brewer they do. Lake. Yeah, that's an undershot dam, and they can just go back and forth there.
Sure.
Yep.
Yep. Well, I must say, too, April 1st, first day of fishing is Sunday?
Yep, Sunday, Easter Sunday, and April Fool's.
April 1st, April Fool's Day.
Yep.
And there's some open water. We just mentioned some open water. We want to talk about Grand Lake Stream. That's always a big place to go on April 1st, and there's a big crowd there at the dam pool every year. And I recently just asked, just a few minutes ago, actually, I'd asked our man in the control room, Norm Plord, the scourge of Grand Lake Stream, a question of how much water they're running through the dam right now. And I had to believe the answer, but the answer was what,
Well,
Norm?
You were sitting down when I told you, which was good. but the USGS website says that the flowage there right now is at 824.
I can't believe it.
Man. That's screaming.
That's flood water.
Mm-hmm.
You got to tie yourself off to a tree next weekend.
Brother, you have to.
You better put some rocks in your boots.
Yeah.
Holy smart. You know how much that is? That would flood the hatchery. I'm telling you, that's just a lot of water. That's
just about.
Oh, man, that can't be right. That can't be right, Norm. I would guess, as you said earlier, average one would be 325 at this time of year, and that's about. That's probably closer to what it can't be 800 and something.
Well, that was an 89 year average, though, of being 325, 330 in there. So, but
yeah.
Supposedly the current flow right now is 824. If anybody's down that way, if you know differently, give us a call.
Have you ever been down there on the first, Norm?
Never have.
You never have?
No, it's combat fishing.
I've been down on a number of opening days at Grand Lake Stream, but it's cold and it's. It's usually snowing and 6, 8, 10 inches sometimes, and freezing underfoot, and the line freezes up, and I'm telling you.
You know, Bobby, I bought Paul Reynolds' plane a long time ago, and a friend of mine who was an avid fisherman, and God rest his soul, he was just a young man, passed away young, but Dave Kamick and I used to hop in my plane on April 1st and we'd fly down over the lakes around to find out where the open water was. We'd come back, jump in the pickup, and away we'd go. A lot of times, Green Lake, the sandbar down on Green Lake, there was open water there, and the salmon would be jumping up by the out of the water by the ice.
We always
had a good time, but it was fun to go find the open water with the plane.
Well, there should be some ponds open down around the coast. I know Lily Pond down there and at Blue Hill has a place, a little fishing pond down in there. They get some trout early right offshore. Do you know about that one, do you, Ryan?
No, I don't. I do now. I'm taking notes.
That's, you make a note. That's a secret one. And they get some nice 14, 15-inch trout on.
Really?
Worms and bobbers, you know. But there's usually ice around the first couple of days, but once that opens up, they start catching some nice fish down there.
I'd like to get into some of those quarries that they catch those huge trout out of down there.
Ah, yes.
That's the place to go.
I ran into a friend of mine this past week, a fellow by the name of Bobby Martin, dyed-in-the-wool beaver trapper. And he was telling me he had a great year this year, because fur is way down in price. But he caught 43 beaver, six otter, and he got 5 pounds worth of casters. I won't tell you what casters are, but they weigh up to about $70 a pound.
Wow.
They're worth more than the beaver, you know, just the casters.
Wow.
But it's good. He loves to get out and trap, gives him something to do in the wintertime. I guess he's partially retired anyway, so he loves that. And, of course, he doesn't have a whole lot of competition this time of year because there's just not – there's no money in fur anymore. So that's right. Yep. Jim's right.
Yep.
It's all about money.
Yeah, we need to.
I've got a moose hunting proposal here I want to just mention real quickly. And I'm reading it, I can see that they've listed some of the bulls in the WMD areas from 1 through 27 and 28. And from what I could gather from last year, they're going to allow a few more moose to be taken this coming year. But you can find out if you go to the public hearing on Wednesday, April 11th at 6 p.m., Augusta Armory, room 209A, 179 Western Avenue. That's in Augusta. Wednesday, April 11th at 6 p.m., the Augusta Armory, room 209A. That's on Western Avenue in Augusta. And that'll wrap up pretty much for...
Let's give away a book, Bobby. It's that time.
Okay, let's give away a book.
Yeah, what's the question?
We're not going to give away a journal anymore, so we'll give away a book. So hang in there for the number to call is 1-800-966-1039. If you have the answer to this question, and the outdoor question of the week will get you your choice of one of my books, if you can give me the complete title of when any one of my three books and where one of these may be purchased. Give me the complete title of any one of my three books and where one of these books may be purchased. Number to call, 1-800-966-1039, and we'll be right back after these messages. And we are back with more of the Maine Outdoors Show tonight. This is Bob Lieben, your host tonight, in the absence of V. Paul, who will be back about the middle of May, so he tells me. And our guest tonight is a canoe man from the word go, and an outdoor guy, and a fisherman, a fly fisherman, and an all-around paddler. And that is Ryan Lilly, and we're going to get to Ryan in a few seconds, right after we get the answer to my outdoor question of the week. And we have who on the line? You there, caller? You there, caller? And your name is? And you're calling from where, Robert? Addison. Okay, right down on the coast. You all ready to go fishing, I bet.
Hi, Bob.
Oh, hey, the Salters. That's right. You know, I've got an article on the Salters coming out in a couple of months in the Northwood Sporting Journal. Big article on the Salters. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you. And do you have an answer to our questions? Absolutely. Do you know when you can buy it, where you can buy it? Oh, you can get it from the Sporting Journal? Not really. They advertise it for me, but there's places around Maine and beyond that you can buy it. Can you? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely right. Which one would you like, sir? You get a free one. Well, I've got two more that you could have one of those. Have you got them all? Fly Fishing Maine. Rivers, Brooks, and Streams. You have all three. Wow. Well, would you like to get one and give it? Would you like to get one and give it to a friend? Okay, that's good. Well, it's awful nice to talk to you. Yeah, I'll do that because we got another caller on the line. But thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. I'd love to try it down there myself. I have fished a brook in Addison. There's a brook runs in there. I can't remember the name of the brook, but I have fished it, and the trout in there are beautiful, really fat, plump fish, and they're all white on the bottom. And they used to be called silver trout in the old days, probably still are today. And they actually run back and forth from the ocean to fresh water. And apparently they're well fed in the ocean because when they come back, they're beautiful. Am I correct on that? Yeah. Well, they'll be coming in now, but you can't fish them until April 1st. Okay. Okay, thank you, Robert, for calling. Thank you so much. We have another caller, Jim? Have another caller, Norm?
Yes, we do. Here's your other caller.
Okay, you there, caller? You there, caller?
They may have hung up because they heard that somebody had won, so that may be what happened.
I'm going to save money on a book, aren't I?
Yeah. I don't know. I think I
call back.
I'll call in real quick, Bob.
You don't have one of my books.
I don't yet.
Oh, well. Well, if you had another caller out there who's got the answer to the question, give us a call, and that free book is still available, and that would be free from Robert from Addison, who just called in, and he's got all three of my books, and I think that's great. And he was plugging the fishing down in Addison. I think we got a call coming through right now. So that'd be good. So you're there, caller?
Sure, I'll put you in the studio.
He's on the phone. I can see out there in the control room. Norm's got him on the phone right now.
And here
you
he
got
is.
There? You got, yes. Are you there, caller? Are there, caller?
The other one.
I'm not getting him, Norm. Yeah, are you there? Okay. What's your name, sir? Phil, where are you calling from? Old Town, do you have an answer to my question? You're absolutely right. What's the name of one of my books? Oh, that's close enough. You win. Would you like a copy of that? We'll send it to you. Okay, we'll give you your address to Norm out in the control room, okay? Stay on the line. Give him your address, and we'll get one right out to you. Thank you so much for calling. Okay. Okay, Ryan, we got to get to Ryan here. My gosh, you've been waiting patiently over here. All ready to talk about canoes, and it's canoe season coming right up on top of us practically.
Yes, sir.
And Ryan, give us a little history. You took the warden's exam. How long ago was that?
Oh, man, yeah. I was in the process to do the warden thing before I took this job, actually.
That's what you told me once, yep.
Yep, before this I was at DeLorme down in Yarmouth.
Oh, really?
Yep, I was there for about 3.5 years. And, the guard changed down there. They sold to Garmin out of the Midwest in Kansas, and didn't really want to move to Kansas, Bob. So I was trying to figure out what to do, and always thought that being a warden would be fun and a great job and rewarding. And the thing is, I was already past 30 years old, two young kids at home, and so being away from home for all that training and then having to uproot and go somewhere way up in northern Maine just really wasn't an option. So I got the job offer at Old Town, and it fit. So we made the move up from Topsom up to Hamden a couple years ago.
I had the same experience.
Yeah.
Only I passed the exam. You passed the exam, didn't you?
I got as far as the oral board when I got my job offer at Old Town. So I took the preliminary stuff, but I didn't get too far.
Well, I passed the exam back in, would you believe, 1956.
Wow.
Imagine that. That's quite a while ago.
That was way.
I was just a young fella those days, and I knew probably know them more then than I do now, I guess. But I come 100% answer all the way right through aptitude test, all the questions. and I could have gone. I'm sorry.
Well, we have a caller?
Oh, well, excuse me, Brian.
Yes.
We have a caller. Are you there, caller? Hello. Okay, where are you calling from? Do you have a question for our guest tonight? Go ahead. Uh-huh. Caller, we have got to take a hard break right here. Now, if you want to hang on the line, we'll come back to you, okay? But in the meantime, we got to take a break. We'll be back with more of Maine Outdoors right after these messages.
More Maine Outdoors next on 101.3 Augusta, 103.9 Bangor, AM 1450 Rockland, the voice of Maine.
And welcome back to the Maine Outdoors Show. This is Bob Lehman, your host tonight. And our guest tonight is Ryan Lilly, Old Town Canoe Man. He is the brand manager up there. And it's now the Johnson Company. A subsidiary is Johnson Company. But the Old Town Canoe brand is still there, and they're still making Old Town canoes and Old Town kayaks. And I toured the factory not too long ago with Ryan, and it's amazing. I can't believe. But what was really amazing more than anything was the size and the gigantic spaces of it. To several buildings, and the manufacturing and the storage and the production and everything, all the offices, and it's just what a place. I was blown away. He said, "Can you walk all this?" And I says, I guess I could struggle along, but we do have a caller on the line. We'd have to get back to
no problem.
Old Town Canoe. And are you there, caller? Yeah, do you want to continue your question?
Thank you, sir.
That was great. I do, too. I got a hat, and I got it on now. Excuse me for interrupting. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, nice people. Yeah, great. Yeah. Yeah, well, you're very welcome. Thank you. And I thank you so much for calling. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on arms right now, but I think we'll make it through all right. There's a lot of hunting going on out there, and a lot of people know how to take care of their firearms, and they do a good job of it, and they've been right against us lately, but... we'll pull through. Thank you so much for calling, though, caller. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, thank you so much. If we have any more callers, 1-800-966-1039 is the number to call. And please dial the whole number if you're local, 1-800-966-1039. If you have any questions from Ryan Lilly or if you want to make a comment on the Old Town Company, Old Town Canoes. Maybe you've got some reminiscing to do about having one of their older canoes. And I know when I was, Ryan gave me the grand tour, there were some canoes up there made years ago. Some of those older ones were ribbed with cedar and they were canvassed and they were amazing just to look at them. And the condition was beautiful. And they still make cedar and canvas canoes up there.
Yes. Yep. We still make wood canvas canoes, and they are an heirloom piece for sure. So we don't sell them wood canvas. You know, we don't sell too many of them anymore. But people still do want them, and we do make them for special order if you ever want one.
They're beautiful. Yeah. Yep. Remember, there's something to treasure. I'll tell you. I had an old Templeton at one time.
Oh yeah.
You recognize that name?
Yep.
I think they were made in Guildford. It had a wide beam on it, and I used it a lot fly fishing, but right now I have something different. I sold that for twice, I think, what I paid for it. But I've gone through more canoes and boats in my time, Ryan. You won't believe it. But we're not talking about me. We're talking about you. And you're the brand manager at Old Town Canoe.
Yes, sir.
And you took that job how long ago?
Oh, about 2 years ago.
Two years ago?
Yep. Moved up from Southern Maine. Uh-huh. From Topsom, took the job, and it's just a great company. You know, I've been in the outdoor industry now my entire career, and you know, one thing that you, like what you noticed when you came up for the tour is I was just blown away by just the pride that everyone that works at Old Town has. Yeah. You know, you walk the floor, everybody is very passionate about the boats that we're making. Even further, you know, I'm sure all the listeners now own an Old Town or have owned an Old Town in their time. And it's just a company that Maine is proud about. And it was just something that was very attractive to me as an outdoorsman and as someone looking to stay in the outdoor industry.
Yeah, yeah, right. You like paddling canoes around?
I do.
And you like to paddle around these new kayaks they have?
I do. Yes, you know,
quite a lineup of kayaks now.
Yep. When you know, you were asking, you know, where do we sell more kayaks and canoes? And the answer is yes. We sell about 70% kayaks at this point.
70% kayaks. 70% are clients.
Yep. However, you know, the canoe business is still strong, but there's been a resurgence and growth on kayak fishing. Right. So we're making a pretty serious line of fishing kayaks called the Predator series.
Yes.
Yep, and it's a sit-on-top kayak that has a lawn chair style seat.
Right.
And we offer it in a variety of propulsion options. You can paddle, you can pedal like a bike, or we have a motorized version with a Minn Kota trolling motor. So there's a variety of different ways that you can get out on the water, but the whole idea is to keep your hands free for fishing.
Yeah, you brought a couple down to Paul's camp.
Yes.
And some of the boys, we had a big outing there anyway, so they all used them, and I never got a chance. Like, they were reused all the time, except when it came time to eat. And they were on the shore, but I wanted to eat, especially lobster, so I never did get the opportunity to use one, but they look like a lot of fun. In fact, somebody ended up buying a couple, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're enjoying them today.
Yes.
And they're fantastic. They really are. I mean, another thing, I saw them advertised on the water television show that's on TV regularly, I guess once or twice a week or more. And they got Old Town Canoe has an ad on that.
Yep.
And it shows the Predator on there. And it's quite a kayak, really. And it's not a climb into and difficult to climb out of kayak if you're older or a lady that has difficult. These you set on top of.
Correct.
Right on top. Yep. And they're very very floatable.
Very stable.
And they're not tippy.
Yep.
Not like some of the other kayaks. You don't mind tipping over on them probably.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, I've seen some guys go right upside down, right back up again.
They must have quite a beam on them.
They do, yeah. It depends on the model, but they're you know right around 34, 35 inches wide, and they've got self bailing scupper holes. So you know, no matter how much water you get inside, it's bailing itself out. So it's a very safe, stable platform for fishing and hunting.
I know Norm rides around one all the time.
The Predator, I wish.
Predator, you would. Yeah, I bet you would.
Hey, we just had a caller. He said he's got a 1917 Old Town Canoe, 19-footer.
That's amazing. Man. That's amazing. Hey,
1917?
1917.
Fun fact, anybody out there that's got an old boat like that, we have a library of cards, of manufacturing cards that go back to 1899. So if you've got an old town boat and you want to know the history of that boat, you give the retail store a call and they can look up the history, who built that boat, if it came back for repairs at all, where it originally shipped to. So it's just a really neat thing that we can do for anybody that owns an old town boat.
That's very interesting.
Really nice. Yeah.
For some of your listeners out there, if you have one history of one of these in your generation, your past, you could call Old Town Canoe Company, and they'll give you a history of the canoe itself.
That's impressive. I mean, this guy has got a 101-year-old canoe. I mean, it's impressive.
I've got a 1917 Model T Ford that would fit right on the top of.
That'd be a great photo shoot, actually. Sure would. Catalog.
It's a Woody, too.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
and it's a runner. You can drive it every day.
We also talked about at the plant during the tour that we had, manufacturing of these kayaks, and that was very interesting. You want to run through the process of what we saw?
Yes.
Looked at and enjoyed.
So beyond the wood canvas product that many people know about, we have a few different manufacturing styles that we use to make our canoes and kayaks. One is called thermoforming, and that's basically taking a plastic sheet and heating it up to the point to where it's soft and pliable, and we vacuum seal it to a frame or a mold and make it into the shape of a canoe or a kayak. And that is this, you know, if you're familiar with our product line, the Saranac canoe is a single layer thermoformed canoe. And then we also do a process called roto-molding. And if anybody is familiar with Yeti coolers, the coolers that are out there, the hard surface coolers are roto-molded. And that's just like our kayaks and some of our canoes, three-layer canoes. So essentially that is almost like a bundt cake frame that's fully enclosed that we spread a plastic powder into that frame.
I saw that,
frame.
Like a silicone powder.
Yeah, it's like a really fine.
It's the form of...
Yep.
They just pour that powder into the mold?
Exactly. So if you know, you're looking at one of our kayaks, it's got like the sunburst color. Basically, they're taking, you know, 20 pounds of yellow and 10 pounds of orange and a little bit of, and then they pour that into the mold and clamp it together and throw it, and not throw it, but they
all don't come out the same, though. Exactly.
Well, we get really close. No two canoes or kayaks are the same in terms of color, you know, but they map them and we're able to put the plastic in very, you know, in the same place. And even though some of the plastic will be a little bit different, it's very close. But, you know, we do offer some canoes and or some kayaks with a high definition camo pattern. And that's our Predator series. If you look on our website, you'll see some of those. And then we offer some that are a little bit more banded colors. And so we basically have several ovens at Old Town, some that are doing those high fidelity camo colorways and some that are a high speed oven that are making the banded colorways.
Hold that thought.
Sure.
We've got to do a local commercial.
You got it.
They help run the show, and without them, we couldn't get by. And they are, of course, General Appliance in Brewer. We've been advertising their products now for, I think Paul said something like 18 to 20 years. Is that right, Jim?
Yes, that's right. Pretty close to 20 years.
They've been one of our die-hard sponsors, I'll tell you, that's been hanging in there for us, and boy, do we appreciate that.
18 that I know of.
And they're the place to go, folks, for your gas lights, gas ranges, gas refrigerators, gas freezers, or top-of-the-line compost toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
Ride the rave, baby, as Jimmy says.
Yes, sir.
And that's so true, you
ride
might say.
Ride the rave.
I know. I used one once last spring where I had to go to a camp up to, I don't know, Madamagantic or whatever it is. And they had one in the lodge we were in the big camp we stayed in. And I'm telling you, it was awful nice to use that rather than to go
big
out
improvement
and,
over that old wet log, isn't it?
Mosquitoes and black flies out there. you know, in the middle of the night. Yep. Hey, that's great. So anyway, you can get those over to General Appliance, and I'm telling you, they're unbelievable. And they also sell electric appliances. And they've been a family-owned business since the 1920s. Al Elkin is the guy to see up there. And he's a niche in these changing energy times. General Appliance is there to serve camp owners with non-electric appliances, as we just mentioned. And General Appliance use propane appliances and sells parts for all makes and models, including the well-known Sauvel gas ranges. And as for the compost toilets, these are, as Jimmy said, ride the wave.
Wave of the future.
Of the future in the conversation-minded world, totally reliable and odor-free. They can be believed.
Yep.
If you have troubleshooting questions, give them a call, 989-3714, and they will come and check out your appliance, even if you didn't buy it there.
Right over there.
If you do buy it there, they'll make sure that it's running perfectly, all set up for you, and ready to go. That's electric and or gas.
That's for
so,
sure.
Thank you so much. And they also have, did I say, no plumbing is in those compost toilets, so that's fantastic.
That's right.
Okay. And
they're affordable, and they're the nicest people you'll ever deal with.
You can say that, and thank you, James.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
That so much. Okay, now back to our guest tonight, Ryan Lilly of Old Town Canoe, who is a brand manager. And we were talking about production of these canoes at the plant. And how many did you say they put out a day?
Ooh, that depends. That depends. I couldn't answer that, and I'd be lying to you if I just throw a guess out there. But we do make about 100,000 boats a year.
Ooh.
Yep. So we put out quite a few a year, but we are ramped up right now. This is our busiest production time.
Before spring.
Exactly.
Open water and all that.
We're three shifts a day, 7 days a week.
Ooh, man.
Through about June, July, and then we are tapering it back from there. Yeah. But this time of year, it's cranking, and we have quite a few hands on deck, and we're delivering orders all over the country and
all over the
into
world,
Canada. Probably. Yep, we ship some international customers as well. So, yeah, we're quite busy right now.
LLB is a big customer of yours.
Yes, sir.
What I like when I go over there is that they sell the paddles. They sell everything you can imagine.
They do have all the extras.
Right.
Yep. You can build that canoe the way you want it.
Yep, parts and everything. You know, we do have a retail store up in Old Town that.
Just going to mention that.
Yep. And we do sell, we are a part of a larger company called Johnson Outdoors. You mentioned that. And some of our sister brands, Humminbird Fish Finders, Minn Kota Trolling Motors, Cannon Downriggers, and Eureka.
Oh, you have motors?
Yep. Eureka Tents and Jetboil Camp Stoves. Yes. Yep. So if
I can get really outfitted.
Oh,
camping.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on up. We offer all those products at the retail store as well. So, it's more than just canoes and paddles and PFDs. We also offer our sister brands.
It opens on April 1st?
It opens. I think it opens this coming weekend, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That'd be great. So, as I said, you can get paddles and tents and electric motors, and you can get canoes that have been damaged or whatever.
Yeah, factory second. So, usually it's a blemish of some sort, but you can hardly tell.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I looked at some of those.
I bought one of those.
You can't tell.
Right.
They're beautiful, really. And a real bargain, too, a lot of them.
And, it's always great. You were mentioning some of our older boats that we have on display are in the store.
Man. Some of those. They had a war canoe there that's that's about 30 feet long anyway.
Yes. Yep. And we have a canoe that's on display in there. It's an old birch bark canoe that was donated by the Penobscot Nation. And that canoe is in pristine condition, and it's from the early 1800s.
Wow.
And the story behind that is, I was told to me recently that I asked why it's in such great condition. And I guess the tribes used to sink the birch bark canoes in the lakes.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
To preserve the wood in the wintertime, and then they would dive down and get them, and so it's incredible.
Well, in the days of rowboats, which is pretty well gone by now, but there are a few around, that's what they used to do in the spring.
That's right.
You get out the old front of the camp, they get out these old rowboats that had dried out, and dried up, and all the cracks were showing and everything.
Yeah, the shiplaps.
Pop them in the water and put some rocks in them and put them right near the bottom so they could get them out.
Swell them up, yeah.
And let them swell. Fill them up with water and let them swell for 2 or 3 weeks, and then pick them up out of there, drag them up out of there, and they would float like crazy.
Wow.
Couldn't believe how great they are. And they wouldn't leak. Well, they might leak a little.
Right.
So that's why they carried a little coffee can along with them. That's what Norm used to do, right, Norm?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. You know all about that stuff, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. Okay, you're a fly fisherman.
I dabble.
Do you?
Yeah.
How long have you been fly fishing?
I've been fly fishing probably 5 or 6 years.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so I'm relatively new, and I like to hang out with people like you because I'm just soaking it in and learning as much as I can whenever I'm
1-800-966-1039 is the number to call if you have any questions for our guest, Ryan Lilly of Old Town Canoe. Maybe you got an old canoe you'd like to get some information on. And the number to call, 1-800. You have to dial the whole number, 1-800-966-1039. We'll be happy to take your call. Maybe you just got an opinion to give. It'd be great. And you don't tie flies, though, probably.
I don't. No, but I was down at the Sportsman Show in Orono. Well, it was the last weekend?
This weekend, yeah.
Yeah, and I've got 2 little boys, 5-year-old and almost 7-year-old, and the Penobscot.
Oh, you went to the Penobscot fly fishing.
Yes, and they tied their own flies. And my son, we left, and my son later that night, I mean, it was hours after we'd been home, he said, "Dad, when are you going to teach me how to fly fish? I really want to learn." And so that made a really big impression on him.
How old is he?
He's going to be 7 in July.
Oh, that's so, good enough to get him started.
Exactly. They're already really, my boys are just really good anglers already, and I think they'll pick it up pretty quick. But tying their own flies, I'm like, oh, I guess I got to get a fly tying set up, and that would be a great thing to do in the wintertime.
Now, you set up kayaks for fishing, too, not just as the Predator, but regular kayaks.
Yep.
Places for put your rod in, trolling rods and all that stuff all ready to go.
Yes, sir. Yeah, a lot of our Loon series, our Heron series, our Vapor series, we make in angling editions as well that have rod holders. And you can also, you know, customize your kayak or canoe to have rod holders on it too if it wasn't made with rod holders. So there's a variety of things that you can do aftermarket to your boats to make them fishing ready.
Yeah, ours came with the rod holders already molded in them.
Yep.
Is one of the first ones. We've had it about 10 years or so. It's a great, great, great kayak.
And fishing out of a kayak, too. You know, it's always great to be in a bass boat or, you know, an old Lund or something that, you can motor across and get to where you want to go quickly. But fishing from a kayak and canoe, I know I'm preaching to the choir, all of Maine, you know, fishes out of a canoe. But the access that you get from, you know, a kayak or canoe, you can get back into these backwater spots and get into these places
you couldn't get in, you know, especially these weedy places and stuff.
Exactly.
To get to an open water area or something like that, or up an inlet or out or down an outlet or whatever.
Absolutely. And, you know, it seems like the rest of the country is starting to pick up on that. You know, us Mainers have been doing it for
a couple of minutes. No, Ryan, why don't you give us a quick rundown on the canoes? But they're not Royal X. Royal X has gone by years ago. But how do they make the canoes today?
Yes. Yeah, so we use a plastic substance, and we rotomold them. Basically, you pour a plastic powder into a metal frame, a mold, and you clamp it, and you put it into an oven, and it rotates that mold up and down in 360 degrees, and it basically melts that plastic to the outside of the frame. And you have to cool the plastic just as long as you cook it. So it's about, depending on the product, about a 30 to 40 minute process of making a kayak or canoe out of plastic, melting it. So we take it out of the frame afterwards, cool it down, and then outfit it with all the seats and the rudders and whatever else is going to go on the boat. But, start to finish, it's probably an hour and a half to 2 hours per kayak.
And how many canoe styles do you make?
Oh, that's a great question. Off the top of my head, I would say between we offer Old Town and Ocean kayak boats. I would say we've got 24 models under Old Town between kayaks and canoes, and probably a dozen with Ocean kayak as our other brand. So,
Well, what's your length of the canoes you sell now?
The longest would probably be the Penobscot 174.
What's 174 inches?
17 feet, 4 inches.
17 feet, 4 inches?
Yeah.
And the next one up is what?
Next one down? Next one down would probably be the Discovery 158 or 164. Yep. So the longest canoe we've got is about 17 and a half feet right now.
Oh, I see. So they go smaller from that.
Yep.
Yeah, I know there's some one-man jobs there.
Yes, we do.
A one-man canoe.
Yep.
Those are quite a lot lighter.
They are, We have the Discovery 119, which is a very popular solo canoe. And we also have a product called the Next that actually has a kayak seat in the solo canoe, so you can either paddle it with a kayak paddle or a canoe paddle. Yeah. That's a very popular model as well.
Minute and a half, and you have one caller.
We have a caller?
You sure do.
Okay, you there, caller?
Hello, I'm JJ from Knox County.
Okay, great. Do you have a question for our guest here tonight?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
We have an Old Town Tripper made of Royal X, and I was wondering how we should store that, especially during the winter, and whether to keep it out of sunlight, or I'm not sure what to do there.
Sure. Yeah, you're going to want to store that. I mean, if you've got the ability to store it indoors, that's obviously the best. I mean, if you've got a barn or a shed or something that you can keep it out of the snowpack, that's always the best in the wintertime. Usually flip it over and store it on pallets. Resting on the rails or the gunnels. Try to avoid storing it on its side because that will deform the canoe. But try to keep it out of, being underneath the snowpack as best as you can. In the summertime, you know, sun will affect plastic, but not too terribly much. But I would, keep it out of, if you don't want any fading, keep it out of the sunlight.
Okay, and is in the winter, is it specifically the snow or the cold?
More the snow, the weight of the snow on it.
Okay, the weight. Okay, so if we keep it clear, we don't have any way to keep it indoors, unfortunately, so...
If you got a, you know, if you got a tree that, you know, you can, this tree would shed the snow away from the canoe or something, that might not be a bad idea. But I would just try to keep it to where the heavy, you know, like this heavy snow that we have on the ground right now wouldn't be very good. It'd probably warp your canoe if it was, all the weight of it was on the canoe.
Hanging from the ceiling in the garage.
Thank you, guests, for being here. Ryan Lilly of Old Town Canoe. Fantastic. We'll have to have you back because I didn't get halfway through the questions that I had for you. So we got to wrap it up. But thanks again for coming.
No problem.
Really appreciate it. Next week, of course, we'll have Greg Burr here, the regional biologist down east. And, of course, he'll be right in on time for the opening water fishing. And he'll have all the information for you on where to go and where to get them. And until then, this is Bob Lehman, your host, saying have a good night. And we'll see you next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.